It's time for Michigan's retirement coach, Mike Douglas.
And I'm Heather Branch here asking Mike for his ideas on what you can be working on to better prepare for your financial future. When it comes to retirement and your money, there are many decisions to make. You do not have to figure it all out by yourself. Mike and his team are here to help you put it all in a plan that works to achieve your goals. So lifeplanwealth.com is where you can start that conversation with Mike and his team. We also have links posted in the show notes, or again, visit us anytime at lifeplanwealth.com. All right. I'm not going to sit here and be like, tell me about all of your inconsistencies and shortfalls in life, but we are all human.
It's a list.
So mistakes get made.
I got a list. Right.
Same. Same.
Yeah.
Just from the time I got out of bed this morning until now.
Yeah, there's a running tally.
Don't ask our spouses.
Nope.
You'll be here a while.
Yeah, that's a separate podcast.
The whole nother.
The Kyle and Kimberly podcast. Just go on.
Right.
Just say everything you need to say. Get it out of here.
Just get it out there. Yep. Just get it out there.
Airing of grievances like Festivus.
They both start with K. It writes itself.
Yep.
Thinking about mistakes, though. Because, again, we're all human and mistakes get made. And, you know, oftentimes the greatest lessons in life come from making mistakes and growing from them and moving on from them. However, when it comes to money mistakes, I think that the fear of them is deep and real. It's understandable for many people because there have been mistakes made by people financially, whether or not you've experienced it or you've watched somebody experience that you can't recover from. It's just, it changes everything in your life, your spouse's life, your kid's life.
Yeah.
It can trickle down. So it's understandable why people are so afraid about making financial mistakes.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is something that people come to, that probably is that fear that people come to you with, right?
Yeah. Without a detailed understanding, I'm afraid that a decision today affects me down the road.
Right.
You know, and we always joke, I think it was All Dogs Go to Heaven when they go, you can never go back. Right? Like they're fading in the background. Yeah. You can never go back. Uh-huh. That's how people act with finances. Like if I do this, what am I going to do? You know, whether it's, should I change career? Should I, you know, what if we move and we can't find a house? Well, at some point you'll find a house, you know? Yeah. But we do feel like every decision is mission critical. And I will say, as you get towards the retirement, you're kind of more in the financial red zone and it becomes a little bit more important to make the right decisions. You know, if you're 25 and you pick the wrong stock, who cares? At least you're playing, you know, just get in the game, try to get some winners, take some lumps, learn your lessons. But that's a different phase of life, right? That's the first quarter and you're out there just gunslinging, trying to, you know, score as many points as you can. When you get down to the red zone, towards the end of the game, and you're trying to, number one, there's kind of these rules. So I coached football for a long time and I played growing up. And when you get in the red zone, they say that this is the last 20 yards before you get in the end zone, right? Mm-hmm. So you drive all the way down the field and then the red zone is from the 20 yard line in. And in that red zone, they say the field compresses. And what it means is you can't throw a 50-yard pass anymore. So the defense doesn't have to play as deep. You really, all you have to get is 21 yards or really like 20 yards in 1 inch. Because if you're on the 20, as long as any part of the football crosses any part of the goal line, it's a touchdown.
Touchdown, right.
So now the defense comes up closer and says, we can't even let you get 20 yards on a play. But back down the field, they may have safety sitting 25 yards off the ball because they're trying to take away a deep pass. So in the situation here, we're talking about what if they bring, the defense comes up, the field compresses, there's less options, and there's more risk of a wrong mistake. And so, or more risk of making a mistake. So what happens is your playbook completely changes. And in the college and the NFL, they'll spend days, like literally they have a red zone day. And it's where they spend the whole day running through the concepts of what they do in just that part of the field. And it's interesting to me that they spend so much time on it, but it's because in that space, the rules are different. The play calling strategy is different. The margin of error shrinks.
I was going to say, the little moves mean a lot more in that space, right?
Yeah, there's less grace, right? Like sometimes if you have a guy, you're at your own 20-yard line and you got 80 yards to go, sometimes you just like the matchup, you just chuck it deep and let your guy try to be the better dude. Like, that's it. You're like, if my guy can outjump that guy and I give him 50 yards to do it, there's a good chance of success for us. You can't do that in a 20-yard field. And so everything changes and the margin of error changes. And so when they do that, they create these shorter routes, shorter plans, quicker plays, because the one of the biggest rules of being in the red zone is don't go backwards. Do not allow the plays to move you to the 25 or 30 yard line, because now you're like, I'm just going to have to kick a field goal. I can't score a touchdown from here. Well, financially, there's similar rules. Once we get to this red zone, do not get backed up. Do not allow a negative play to push you back out of what you're trying to accomplish. So it becomes more about steadily getting those 20 yards. You don't have to get them all in one play, but you get basically 8 plays to do it. Mm-hmm. Get 4 plays to get to the 10 and 4 plays to get to the end zone. So if you can get piece by piece success, it's what you want to do. It's more important, though, not to turn the ball over. So when we look at how we are set up for that, when we look how you make sure your plans for it, when we talk about income planning specifically, as how do you live off of it? Don't allow setbacks to change the path of life. We're living on this money. We're using this money. Don't allow a turnaround in the market where the market drops 10, 15%. Are you going to allow that to change your lifestyle? What if you have a negative 20% or 25% or a big drop like 2008? Are those going to change your income? Are those going to change your lifestyle? Well, we all remember 2008 and 2009, how much the world just froze. It's really interesting. If you watch TV shows from, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, almost every show has a lot of content around the recession. And that's kind of interesting to me that so many shows reference it. The Office references it. They freeze 401ks on The Office and they say, well, you know, obviously the recession, like the crash. I was watching White Collar, and they talk about it. Well, this company hasn't recovered since the recession. Like so many shows, like that's how major it was. It was infiltrating every TV show because it affected life. And they say, you know, art tends to reflect life. Well, in the same way that so many things affected people, and at this phase of life, allowing variables that you could have mitigated to change your lifestyle is not the model anymore. So allowing things like the stock market, we can't control the stock market. We just have to make sure it doesn't move us out of the red zone. We have to make sure that we want to go forward, but maybe not looking for explosive plays. Just get me my 3 to 5 yards a pop and we're good. And that's kind of the shift. And then as we talk about retirement income planning, it's a little different as well.
Let's talk about retirement income planning then, because I think that people have fear about market mistakes from day one. But like you said, at the age 25 versus the age of 65, a market mistake is very different and how it can affect your overall life. But it's there, I think, for anybody who invests. But, and we've talked about the idea of how you have to change everything you think about with your money. Everything changes once you go into retirement. It just, you have to completely almost forget everything you knew and relearn this whole new approach. And thinking about mistakes people make, Investopedia editor Caleb Silver was telling Yahoo Finance, when it comes to biggest mistakes he sees, is that people don't do the math on income and rather, I guess, just assume what they can spend. Here's what he said.
You have to be the CEO of your own life, of your own personal finances. So we ask people to make sure they know what their income replacement strategy is going to be. How much do you need? And then how are you going to fund that? Is that from your savings? Is that from your investments? Do you own other properties? What's your income strategy while you're doing this? Or are you just drawing down from your retirement funds?
So when you're talking to folks in your office, how often do you see that people underestimate their monthly needs versus actually have an understanding?
So it's been interesting over the past few years, because I remember about 3 years ago, we had to constantly remind people to factor in inflation. Like it was, people knew about it, but they didn't know the thing. No, it was like 1 to 2%.
Yeah.
And nobody really thought about it as a major player.
Right.
And so we would tell people all the time, hey, maybe we should consider inflation at a little heavier rate than what you're considering it. And then we would show them the compound effect of inflation. And we always think about interest as having a compound effect. So does inflation. Because if every year your stuff goes up by 3%, eventually that compounds and people are blown away at their expense rates in 10 to 15 years. Now I say, do you plan on living 10 to 15 years from now? Well, yeah. All right. Well, then we need to know how much that life's going to cost you. And we can't know everything, but we can take this life and extrapolate it. And so we ran that. Well, now all anybody wants to talk about is inflation. They always say, well, inflation's the biggest deal. I'm like, it is a hiccup on the grid, but it's up and it's going to Now we have to, and it's not that it's going to come down to a point where you say, all right, I used to live on 5,000. It jumped to 7,000, but don't worry, in a couple of years, I'll be back to 5,000. That's not going to happen. We've set a new floor on prices for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So some things will come back down, but most things will stay up. So now we have to adjust and plan for it. And like you said in the quote, people do not account for it. There is this kind of this assumption of like, well, I live on about this, so I should be here and I should be this. And we don't like the phrase should be when it comes to retirement planning, because when you're working, if things don't work out, you just keep on working, or you go get another job, or you get a raise, or you do whatever, because someone else is cutting checks and you get to cash them. Mm-hmm. Now, your work is what earns them, but that's how it works. In retirement, you're cutting checks and you're cashing them. And you can't go back to work the same way, because for most people, the day you retire, it's the most employable you'll ever be. And then 3 years out of the workforce, and I'm not saying this from like a negative place, just it's what my clients go through. The longer you're out of the workforce, the less employable you are. And now there's a big influx of people trying to go back to work out of fear of inflation, out of fear of running out of assets. But it's a tougher marketplace to get into at 67 to 70 than it is at 30. And so as a result, you need to have these things planned out in advance. You need to know what the rules are and how those things are affected. But also knowing that when I take income, like he referenced, you could have properties, you could have investments, you could have savings, you could have pension, you can have Social Security, you can have annuities, you can have whatever you use for your income sources. Understand how they're taxed. Understand if they inflate. Understand if they're sustainable. Understand if they're volatile or if there's a risk to them. What are the risks? Well, I have real estate properties, so I'll never have any subject to the market. You will. If people's stock portfolios crash, it affects housing. We saw it in 2009, where people who weren't invested in mortgage-backed securities, they had their money disappear, and all of a sudden they couldn't. And then companies had to cut jobs, and then jobs were lost, and people lost their homes. There are direct correlations between things that seem to not necessarily, well, I have rentals. Okay, great. If someone leaves and you can't find a new renter, and you have to lower your rent because rental market's coming down, well, then you're going to live on less money. The dream is you have this lifelong renter who loves it forever, but at some point they may want to buy. And if they buy and they leave, can you replace it? Do you sell it to them? There's a lot of things that are variable inside of real estate. There's a lot of issues in the stock market. There's a lot of awesome things in the stock market, but just understanding how those variances affect you. If you throw money in an annuity to get income, there's really good benefits. There's also some serious detriments to them, and understanding the type to have, the type not to have, the fee structures associated, the liquidity issues associated, understanding it is the whole key. So I'm not saying that anything is right or wrong. And actually, it really depends on your family. Because for me, like, I don't want to have rental properties because I don't want to fix a toilet. I don't want to deal with any of that. I don't want to deal with property managers, nothing. You know, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they are brilliant at it, because he is insanely good at construction. That's why I hired him to do all my construction. And she is good at design. So if you are fueled by that, then it's a wonderful space to be. Yeah. And the retirement is about being your best self and using the energy you have to do the things you love doing. If part of that is, I've always been handy. I love tinkering. And so going and replacing a busted door, it's actually life-giving to me. Then that might be the way you go. If you're a desk jockey like me who says you're mechanically declined and you don't want to do any of that stuff, okay, I'm going to use investments to do the same thing. It's all about what makes the most sense for you and what has the longest shelf life. Because you may get to a phase and say it's 55 or 60, I like the rentals. At 70, maybe I won't. And understanding those things and how we affect them. So it's all just personalized. But income, again, it has to be sustainable. It has to be reproducible. It has to be shielded from volatility, or at least aware of the volatility. It has to be interest rate protected. You can't allow interest rates to drastically change your lifetime income. It has to be stock market proof in the way that, not that the stock market doesn't ever benefit, but that it doesn't change your lifestyle if the market drops. Do you have duration? So there's a lot of good things inside of that you can build, but just understanding how it works. Because remember, you're the one cutting the checks for you to cash. And so you have to rely on yourself and your information, your education to do more.
Okay. Lifeplanwealth.com is our website. You can go there, click on the start your retirement roadmap today.
Yeah.
We also have links posted in the show notes, but lifeplanwealth.com is where you can find us anytime. you were touching on some ideas of the things we got to work on. But just basically, if we could just finish on a quick summarization of how you approach things at your office. And can you explain an income planning process for somebody who is entering this next phase of life? They got to be their own CEO. They got to start cutting their own checks to themselves. When they are thinking about building this retirement income plan, how would you explain the process should go from a bird's eye level?
Yeah. So when I think about income, and I think probably just the nature of my industry and my career and my education leads me towards risk mitigation. My whole goal is to identify risk anywhere I can. And we always joke, like, we have this basketball court at our house and I love it. I love that our kids get to play on it. The neighbor kids wanted to come over and play. And I said to Kim, and she was like, yeah, of course, guys, it's for everybody. Like, we love our neighbors. We love our community. Everybody can play. And I said, Kimberly, we don't have a sign out there that says play at your own risk, that the Douglas family is not responsible if something happens to you. Should we have them sign a waiver? She goes, you are way overthinking this basketball hoop. But I just, all I see is the other side of it, where I'm like, what if a kid falls and breaks his leg? Like, are we liable? There's no lifeguard on duty sign in our pool. And if the neighbors come swim in it, do they know there's no lifeguard at our house? It should be assumed, but does that hold up in court? That's kind of where my brain goes. When it comes to income planning, and it's sad that it has to be that way, right? But when it comes to income planning, what are the risks? Because at the end of the day, the risks are the thing that can take it away. That's what it all comes down to. We love our house. We love our court. We love our pool. Anything that could take that away, I want to take care of. When it comes to income planning, we have to have the conversations that figures out what could take it away.
Okay.
So I like the market giving you income.
Okay.
Be aware of what the market could do and how it could take it away. I like annuities giving income. Be aware of the issues and how they could potentially go away. Be aware of real estate. Are they good, bad, whatever else, and how could it go away? If you have that conversation with someone who's not just going to say, you want income? Buy an annuity. You want this? Buy dividends. You want this? Buy that. Don't do that. Figure out what makes the most sense. Have someone who can go with you and walk down the thing. That's what the retirement roadmap button does. You click that and it starts the conversation of, all right, does it make sense to do this? What are the risks? What makes sense for our family? What we want to accomplish? If you've got a couple 20-year-old kids getting into construction and they're doing a great job, you living on rentals might be a good thing because you got workers built into the family.
Got it.
There's also risk in family business. And I've got some experience in that too, where we go through and figure out, does it make sense to go into business with your family?
Right.
And what tax structures you need. So there's everything has this other side, and we don't want to live thinking about the other side, but we have to talk about it.
Well, but that's your job. You know, if I don't want to live thinking about that, I can come to Mike Douglas and say, I don't want to think about this. That's why you're coming to think about it for me.
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you where you need signs on your pool and your basketball courts. And,
it starts there.
A way to seem like just a Debbie Downer.
I need a camera. Yeah,
don't draw on my
house.
Sidewalk in case you hurt your hands, you know? Yeah. We don't use sidewalk chalk in case the dirt somehow hurts our. Yeah. Like, no, it's just having these conversations. Because again, having someone who knows, like all the time people say, I never thought about that. I'm like, I know. That's my job. Identify those things, mitigate them, and help you live your best life.
It's a different world in this retirement place, but it should be a good place, an exciting place. You've worked so hard. You've done the hard work. You've got this nest egg. You have made it this far. You want to know how much further you're going to go, but you don't want to have to worry and stress about it all the time. Put that worry and stress on somebody else's plate. That's what I say. Delegate the worry and stress.
Delegate.
Mike and his team are here for you to delegate onto, sir and ma'am. So click on the links that we have posted in the show notes if you want to start this conversation, or again, find us anytime at lifeplanwealth.com.
Thanks for listening to Michigan's Retirement Coach with Mike Douglas. To learn more, visit lifeplanwealth.com. Michael Douglas is an investment advisor representative of Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Financial professionals are not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Michael Douglas is licensed in your state, please call 517-323-7526. Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through Michael B. Douglas, NPN number 965-0939.